And I titled this, The Fullness of the Gentiles. So we saw last week where Paul had talked about the branches being broken off from the olive tree, referring to the Jews who did not believe, to Israel. He also noted that the branches from the wild olive tree were grafted in, referencing us, the Gentiles, who came to believe in Jesus Christ. And I kind of like that, the wild olive tree, the rebels. You know, we were just out there. We didn't really have the law. We didn't know about God other than the gods we created and the idols we created. But here we are now, the opportunity to be grafted in and truly come to know God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And Paul also noted that these original branches could easily be grafted back in as they are from the original tree. So thus, we as Gentiles and Christians grafted in should not boast or be haughty. We should not look down on the Jewish people or boast or put ourselves in a higher place. He said these in the verses 22 through 24 that we covered last week. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell. Severity, but towards you, goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Speaking of the Jews. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? So it'll be easy when they do wake up and come to know Jesus Christ to be grafted back in. Let's read through these verses, starting in verse 25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them, when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For as you were once disobedient to God, you have now obtained mercy through their disobedience. Even so, these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them to all disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity again to come together, to hear your word, Father, and Lord, to worship you. And we thank you for that opportunity, Father. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to do this freely. And Lord, we ask, Father, that you just bless this time we have together. Fill us with your spirit. Open our ears to hear, our eyes to see. And thank you, Lord, for this time of fellowship that we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. He wants them to understand one of the central mysteries of God's relationship with Israel and us, humanity at large. So this is no longer a mystery to us today, for Paul has already explained it. This blindness in part, remember, there are still Jews that are saved and being saved. But we see that many, as a nation, they are still blind to the Messiah. Paul letting us know this mystery so we do not, in our pride, become wise in our own opinion and become haughty, thinking ourselves above the Jewish people, as he told us earlier in verses 20 and 21, where he said, "Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either." So we see God has hardened or blinded most of Israel, so they do not see their Messiah or hear the word and understand it. Thus, they're being kept from receiving God's righteousness at this time. And it is temporary until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. The fullness of the Gentiles. Now, this is different from when you might recall hearing about the times of the Gentiles. And we see in Luke chapter 21, verse 20, and I'll read these four verses to you. It says, "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. For there will be a great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." So the time of the Gentiles, dealing with the land of Israel. If you recall, Babylon destroying Jerusalem, then the Romans destroying it in AD 70. The Gentiles trampling over the land. However, Paul now states outright that this blindness of the Jews being temporary, and it will end with the fullness of the Gentiles when that has come in. And that fullness of the Gentiles, meaning as many as will believe, or the complete number. When that mysterious point has been reached, the Jewish people will no longer be hardened in their unbelief in Christ. Here we are waiting for that number to be fulfilled. And it could be one of your family members, one of mine. So the fullness of Gentiles referring to salvation. I look at it this way, kind of. A time of harvest when the fruit is at its peak, you know, I have a few peach trees, and when they're ready, I go out and pluck them. I bring them in. I harvest them. Now, I don't get them all because some of them aren't ripe yet. They aren't ready. So I leave them on the tree. But the harvest is now done. Christ, coming back for his church, will get those who believe, as there are some, as of yet, who are not ready. They don't believe. So they will still be here. Recall, like in Ruth, where she would go behind the reapers and glean what was left over in the field. How God set up a law to help the poor in Leviticus 19:10, "And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God." And when you gather the grapes of your vineyard, Deuteronomy chapter 24:21, "Gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow." So after